UK, 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 UK.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning and welcome, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha, Greg Bach is on the board. It's really weird to be all alone in here without you sitting across from me. It's very, very odd. You can always join us 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Or if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, you can leave comments there as well. Lots of things coming up on the show today. Dan Schaefer will be here at 10:33 so we can recombobulate. And then next hour at 11:33, Dr. Jill Underlee, she is the state superintendent of public instruction, is going to be joining us to talk about some of the challenges that are facing our schools and our students and what DPI is doing to address those things. That is next hour. We're going to start off, though, wow, this Clarence Thomas story that ProPublica came out with yesterday. It's pretty amazing.
It hasn't made me like him anymore. I will say that he is a human.
He is a human, and apparently a pretty happy human. So if you didn't read this ProPublica article, essentially, Clarence Thomas had been on the court for about a decade. He'd been on the Supreme Court for about 10 years, and he was at some fancy getaway and
Called
Awakening, yes. A fancy island resort in Sea Island, Georgia. He was hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, and he was complaining to a Republican about, you know, if I don't get a raise, I might resign. And there might be other conservative justices who will resign. And so there were efforts to give the Supremes a raise, which never actually happened.
Nope.
They make, what, $173,000 a year?
Which is about $300,000 right now.
Yeah, that doesn't sound too bad to me.
I could spend that money easily.
You think you could get by on that?
I think I could. I really do.
If you budget?
Oh, yeah, definitely with some good budgeting. I use that Quicken software.
So shortly after this conversation that Clarence Thomas had with this Republican lawmaker, he started getting prezzies. He started getting gifts from people like Texas billionaire Harlan Crow.
You know what? Honestly, for Harlan Crow, he gets this.
Excellent. People laugh. Yes. Excellent. Excellent. Evil laugh.
I'll get you, Batman.
Thomas told Republican Representative Cliff Stearns again that you need to look into a bill to raise the salaries of the members of the Supreme Court. As we agreed, Stearns wrote to Clarence Thomas, as we agreed, it is worth a lot to Americans to have the Constitution properly interpreted.
I don't know. Okay. All right. I bet you there's a lot of people who could do it for $173,000.
So again, they ultimately did not give justices the major raise that Clarence Thomas had been pushing for. They also did not lift a ban on justices accepting speaking fees, which he had also sought. And that's something you and I talked about off the air a little bit yesterday, Greg, about whether or not the Supreme should be able to do that.
I think they should be, as long as the speech isn't wading into judicial territory that will make it murky. But here's the thing is even if they go to a school, say they go to Harvard to speak, and let's say 5 years down the road, Harvard's involved in a case, they recuse themselves. I don't think speaking for money should not be allowed. They allow, congressmen can do it, senators can do it, presidents can do it. And they have strict ways of marking that money and making sure it's not being used nefariously. So, You know, this whole thing of like, we keep them insulated so they can do their job. Well, we found that there's ways around that.
Oh, yeah. Big time. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. I'm curious, should our justices be allowed to get speaking fees? Because the one thing that's pointed out in this ProPublica article, essentially, the justices usually spend the majority of their lives on the court, right?
Yeah, a long time.
A very, very, very long time. So when their term is over, it's not like they can become a lobbyist or, you know, jump to some other very lucrative position. So the speaking fees, I guess I could see that. I don't think that would be terrible.
But I think here's the thing, too, is if, you know, let's say a justice gets on the court at the age of, you know, in their 40s, and they spend 20, 30 years, 60s, 70s, and retire, there's plenty of things they can do to make money. They can go on speaking engagements. They can write books. They can join. They can do there are jobs out there for them. It's just they choose to stay on until they're in their 80s or they're dead.
There is that. Yeah. At the time of his conversation, again, back in 2000, Clarence Thomas was making $173,600 annually, but was already hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. That also raises questions to me when we're talking about judicial temperament and the ability to interpret the Constitution and yet you're really bad with money.
Well,
it's what?
One of the things they talked about was the fact that even though they were in debt, they bought a house back in like the 90s that was over $500,000.
It was $522,000.
You're in debt because you're not fiscally responsible, which, by the way, is supposed to be one of the cornerstones of your party. But when you're two people, and this is before the kids showed up, you're two people, why do you need a $523,000 house if you are in debt? Why do you need that? You don't. And I'm not saying I don't care, but it's also, I'm not, oh my gosh, I feel so bad for him.
You're not feeling bad for Clarence Thomas?
I never have. I never will.
I would agree with you.
Yeah.
It's just remarkable to me that nothing has happened. Even with all the revelations about Harlan Crow buying Clarence Thomas's mama house.
Yeah.
You know, giving him a $267,000 RV. Yeah. And the loan is just magically forgiven.
And people paying for their adopted son's
education
in private schools. And he's not going to like Catholic Memorial or, you know, Marquette High School. He's probably going to like these Eden, Exeter type schools that are like $50,000-$60,000 a year, and they're prep schools where these are highfalutin schools where these kids are going to go on to the Ivy Leagues and influence laws and things like that.
Yep.
So yeah, it's oopsie, he forgot to tell us.
Yeah, and again, there have been, I guess the only fallout that came from this was that they wrote up their own code of ethics. They wrote up their own judicial code of ethics, and yet there is no enforcement mechanism as far as punishment.
Jane, the justices got together this year, all nine of them. All nine of them.
I know.
And I say all nine of them because three of you I'm supremely, and that's a pun, supremely disappointed in when you said, no, thank you on the oversight. We can take care of this ourselves. Well, you can't, you don't. And I'm sorry, there needs to be more oversight. There needs to be more, like, you have rules, let's stick to them.
There's an idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an idea. And I think, too, with the current view of the Supreme Court in this country, this is not helping their reputation. All of these revelations are not helping any of them. And as you pointed out, we've got some Democrats now on the Supreme Court, and they all signed on to, like, oh, no, we're good.
Yeah.
We're all good.
No, we don't need your help. Sorry, no, there's nobody home. We gave it the office. Goodbye. This
has been working well for us. And certainly it's been working really well for Clarence Thomas since 2000. So the last 23 years.
And probably before that, too. I mean, come on, let's be honest. It's a pretty sweet gig if you can get it. And the whole, you know, if this whole, if you don't raise our pay, someone's going to resign. Goodbye. Oh, goodbye.
Yeah. Yes, but then again, they would have lost the majority on the court. You want to keep that majority, Greg. That's what's important.
Yeah.
That's what's important. 844-967-2789-844-96
Party. I wasn't sure if you're going to say it. I saw it because I got a profile view of you now, and you were about to, and I didn't want to interrupt you, but here we go. Party.
Clarence Thomas. This is all good. Should they be able to get speaking gigs if they can't manage their money? I find that more troubling than just about anything, that he's that bad with money.
I don't think not being able to manage your money should preclude you from a job unless your job is, say, in finance. But it certainly, like, if you gave me more of a hard scrabble story about, his past, his history, and it was like, I was working three jobs and going to law school, and it was me and Ginny, and we lived in a two-bedroom house, and the blah, blah, blah. Oh, that sucks. I mean, we all go through that stuff. We've all looked at our bank account, and we've been broke. We've been hard up for money. We've had to ask for help.
Yes.
But not a bit of sorry do I feel when you're buying over a half a million dollar home and you have money problems and an RV. RV isn't even like the sixth vehicle you buy when you have money. Are you kidding me? Like, get a car, get a truck. Get a sports car, get a motorcycle, get a Vespa.
A Vespa.
Totally. Totally.
Oh, yeah. I can see Clarence on a Vespa. Ciao.
Ciao bello.
Ciao bello. Ciao bello. Ciao bello. 844-967-2789. Karina is on the phone. Good morning, Karina. How are you feeling about Justice Thomas this morning?
I feel disgusting because there is always a choice. Guys, you work for a radio and you come from the different places and you end up on a show today. A man went through a law school. He had a choice to go to the private company, work for 15 years, become a partner, have a lot of money. He chose to be a servant for the government. He knew what he's going for.
Thank you so much, Karina. Thank you, Karina. We are up against the wall here. If you want to chime in on this, Clarence Thomas skating on good ice.
Good thick ice.
844-967-2789. Stay close. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Everybody, near and far, I'm going to Paris to stop this war. All those cats got to listen to me because I am the judge that you can plainly see. I want a big round table when I get there. I won't set... on you. Come November election time, you vote your way and I vote mine.
Good morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matmayer in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. You can always join us at 844-967-2789. If you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, you can leave a comment there as well. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, Dan Schaefer will be here as we recombobulate, as we always do every Tuesday from 10:30 to 11 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about Clarence Thomas' big ProPublica article yesterday explaining how in the early 2000s, after Clarence had been on the bench of the Supreme Court for about 10 years, hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, complained to a Republican lawmaker he ran into at some fancy schmancy resort that, you know, if I don't get a raise, I'm gonna resign. And there might be another conservative justice who will resign, and then your guys are going to have problems. So he wanted an increase in pay. He wanted them to be able to legitimately get speaking fees. None of that actually happened. But there were payoffs being made. Some very lavish gifts that Clarence Thomas has received. So if you want to chime in, 844-967-2789. Tom is on the line from Eau Claire. Good morning, Tom. Thanks for joining As Goes Wisconsin.
Hi. If I'm following you correct, I just clarify this for me. You guys don't think he should be eligible for his job anymore because he received payments that were forgiven, loans that were forgiven. Is that correct?
I'm saying that these are questionable things. You don't
I agree with that too. I don't care, and honestly, I wouldn't care if it was a senator or a state senator or congressman or a governor or honestly a president. I don't think that $5 million in debt forgiven is something we should overlook. And I don't care if it's honestly those 20,000, 25,000, 100,000 or whatnot. So how do you fix that?
Well, I think transparency would probably fix some things. And at least when you're receiving gifts of this magnitude, Tom, they should be reported on your filings. And it's my understanding that at least many of these things, Clarence Thomas did not put in his official filings that he was accepting these large sums. That seems problematic to me.
And neither did our president. So, on that level, it's not just one form of government. I mean, we have to fix the whole form of government. I mean, it's not just a justice getting taking monies, taking bribes. I mean, we'll never fix our government system because lobbyists. We pay them, but honestly, do we pay them that well? And you'll never get rid of lobbyists because the government will never vote out lobbyists because they give them too much money. I mean, you wouldn't vote down a raise for yourself, you wouldn't expect that out of a congressman or a senator either.
Oh, for sure. And the other thing too, Tom, they're never going to get rid of lobbyists because half the time when they leave government, they become lobbyists.
So the only way to prevent that, the only way to, you're calling one person out. I mean, you have to call it the entire government. It's not just, Clarence Thomas. It's every one of them, nine that sit on that court has taken money, and every one of our congressmen has taken money. Every one of our senators have taken money. I mean, our presidents, our vice presidents.
Wouldn't it be a good thing to get rid of Citizens United then where money is speech?
It is. The money is speech, money's power, and until you take that away from them, until you can find a way to get that out of our system will be corrupt.
By getting rid of Citizens United, the system would be corrupt.
Yeah, the system is corrupt because we pay them. I mean, we allow it to happen. Like, we sit there and we just look the other way every day is, all of our... And this ain't a Republican or a Democratic problem. I mean, this is a government problem.
Okay,
I mean,
Tom.
You sit there and look the other way.
No, I hear you. It's we got to shine some light on some of this stuff, right? That's why we're talking about it. Whether or not this is going to affect change or not remains to be seen. But I appreciate your call, Tom. Have a great day. Thank you. 844-967-2789. 844-96.
Party.
And I do. I think we should get rid of Citizens United.
I do too. But it also goes back to the idea of, yes, there's corruption, but we're talking about Clarence Thomas right now. And, it's one thing at a time. One thing at a time.
Texter from the 312 listening here on WAUK. Karina's right. If Clarence Thomas wanted more money, he should have gone into private practice. This tells me he may have been a bad attorney.
I mean, that's the thing is his pedigree, he doesn't have like the great, like a lot of these people come from like Harvard and I know he went to good schools, but he also worked in the government for a long time too. And was it a thing of like, he'll vote for us. He'll vote with us. That's a company man right there. Let's give him a shot.
Well, and certainly Clarence Thomas came from a challenge background, right? He didn't come from a background of privilege.
Yeah.
And made something of himself, but again, I find this, when we're talking about such large sums of money, and as Tom from Eau Claire said too, it's a problem all across the board. It is a problem all across the board, and wouldn't it be nice if they were not all getting paid off?
Yeah.
What a wonderful world it would be.
What a wonderful world it would be if there just wasn't more oversight that was strictly enforced, and the people, me and you who pay their salaries weren't the ones who... We're being protected first. That'd be nice.
It would be nice. That would be very, very
nice. Oh, what
a
world it would be.
Well, if wishes were, I don't know, there's a phrase there that I
can't.
If wishes were dishes or something like that. All right. That's not exactly how that works.
I don't know.
Dan Schaefer is coming up with the recombobulation area. Stay close for that next hour. Dr. Jill Underle will be joining us. She is the state superintendent of public instruction. Going to talk about some of the challenges that are facing our schools and our students and our teachers. That is coming up at 11:33, 11 o'clock. We're talking music, Greg Bach. This should make you very happy.
Yeah!
We're going to be talking tunes and some of the biggest shows that were at AmFam Field this year and some of the other venues around Wisconsin. That is all on the way, so stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. We are on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Psycho and Vanzetti are gone. They left me here to sing this song. Psycho's born across the sea, somewhere over in Italy. Vanzetti born, appearance fine, drank the best Italian wine. Psycho sailed to sea one day, landed up in the Boston Bay. Vanzetti sailed the ocean blue and landed up in Boston too. Two good men's a long time gone. Two good men's a long time gone. Two good men's a long time gone. Left me here to sing this song. Psycho's wife, three children had. Psycho was a family man. Vanzetti was a dreaming man. His book is always in his hands. Psycho earned his bread and butter being the factory's best shoe cutter. Vanzetti spoke both day and night, told the workers how to fight. Two good men a long time gone. Two good men a long time gone. Two good men a long time gone. Left me here to sing this song. I'll tell you if you ask me about this payroll robbery. Two clerks is killed by the shoe factory on the street in South Braintree. Judge there told his friends around that he had cut the radicals down. Anarchist bastard was the name, Judge Thayer called.
Good morning and welcome, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matt there. And for Kristen Bry, Greg Bach is on the board. You can always join us at 844-967-2789. And just a reminder, make sure you download this Civic Media app before you head out for the holidays. And you can download podcasts and take us with you wherever you go if you're going to be on the road for the holidays. As he is every Tuesday at this time, we are joined by the award-winning author of The Recombobulation Area. Dan Schaefer is here. Good morning, Dan. How are you doing?
Good morning, Jane. Good morning, Greg. Good to be with you. How is everybody doing?
It is so cold in here. I'm going to have to I'm going to have to start a fire. It is freezing.
It is actually really cold in the host, but you know, it's nice and crisp and warm in the producer's booth. Hello.
Well, that's good for you. So I'm going to be jumping around quite a bit just so I don't freeze solid into place as we continue recombobulating. So, Dan, we're going to start with this. I did not see this. You sent this to me, this Meet the Press. And they talked to a bunch of young male voters in Dane County, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was a Meet the Press segment on Wisconsin and on voters who, young voters in Madison, who were maybe not super enthused about Joe Biden and his reelection prospects and just his tenure in general. But I think it was also interesting that they sat down and talked with a number of these young men. And as they expressed some discontent with Biden, you know, many of the people that they interviewed there also didn't want to vote for Trump either. So it sounded like more of a question of whether these voters, who again, as you mentioned, were all men in that round table, that they had a little bit of trepidation about voting for Biden, but maybe we're not going to vote for Trump either. And I think, you know, this is kind of the moment we're in right now. I think people are You know, there is some discontent with Biden. I think there are some voters on the left who are upset about his handling of the war in Israel. And I think that is and I think just generally the country is so polarized that approval ratings are never going to be high for presidents in this day and age. They weren't high for Trump. They weren't particularly good for Obama. And I think this is just kind of the nature of where we are. And I think it's just a very interesting segment looking a year out. But I think, you know, perhaps if they'd talk to some women, perhaps if they'd talk to a more diverse group of people, that they could have got a response that was perhaps a little bit different. You know, I know there was so often during the Trump years that the national media loved to go to every diner in the Midwest to interview people and say, are you still voting for Trump? Yes, we are. Okay. But I just don't think that type of coverage has been there for the Biden voters in the same way. So I think it's going to be a frustrating media cycle, I think. But it's going to be important for the Biden campaign, for Democrats, for liberal voices to be out there, you know, talking about the good things that have happened under this administration. And, you know, Joe Biden's coming to Milwaukee tomorrow.
Right.
It's going to be interesting to see, you know, what that visit is going to be like, where he's going to end up going, what the focus of that will be, what message he wants to convey to voters in Milwaukee and in Wisconsin in this crucial swing state where we're now less than a year away from that election day, and we're going to be one of the five or six states that's going to decide the election. So here we go. We're getting into it now. It's getting real.
Be perfect. Steal yourselves, because it's going to be a long year. The one thing I think, though, Dan, that stood out to me from that Meet the Press clip a little bit that I was able to watch, all these guys said, you know, I can't think of one issue on which I don't have a problem with Biden. What are these issues? I couldn't find an identifying. What is it? Is it the economy? Is it the, the war with Hamas in Israel? Is it the support for Ukraine? What are their issues that they're so unhappy with?
Yeah, I think one of them that they expressed was on climate change. And look, of course, there's many things we could be doing, but the Inflation Reduction Act included the largest investment in green and renewable energy in the nation's history. So, you know, there's one example. I think it's difficult at times for Democrats to get these messages across, because some of the work can be so detailed and nuanced. It doesn't often fit in the type of soundbite. It doesn't often, you know, having the largest investment in infrastructure since the Eisenhower administration is an important and great thing, the bipartisan infrastructure law. It's a little bit not, it doesn't exactly fit into the snappy soundbite that you might see. So I think there's going to be some challenges to understanding that message and really, you know, connecting with people, where we have, you know, a situation in the economy where there's a lot of indicators going in the right direction now. 5% GDP growth, the stock market at an all-time high, but that's not the full picture of the economy. There's still people struggling. But I think it's going to be a difficult way to kind of thread that needle for the Biden administration going forward on that reelection campaign.
But I was disappointed by that interviewer in not pushing these guys on. So what is the issue? Tell me these issues. Be specific. Show me your worksheet.
Yeah, we need to get these guys on Asgos, Wisconsin. We need the Jane Matinere intense interview here to really find out what these guys are upset about, right?
Well, again, though, it's these generalized. I don't know. I don't feel good, and I don't like it. That's not an answer.
We got a text from the 608 saying much of the time people say they are not happy with Biden because that's what they're supposed to say, and I think that's true, because we've talked about that with the economy. People think the economy is terrible because people just always think the economy is terrible because it's never good for them. So they're just like, yeah, Biden sucks. Why? I don't know. He just does.
Well, and it's funny that you mentioned, Dan, that President Biden is going to be here tomorrow, as you pointed out. And the stock market hit record highs. And the former president predicted that the stock market was going to crash should Joe Biden be elected president. And that hasn't actually happened.
Yeah, a lot of people were predicting a recession this year. They said, oh, you know, the chance of a recession. I think there was like a Bloomberg article a year ago saying the chance of recession in 2023 was near 100%. Here we are at the end of 2023 and we haven't had a recession. You know, maybe what's happening here is that a lot of these economic indicators are out front, and maybe there's like a lagging effect where you don't see the effects for everyday people for that economy right away. You know, it's hard to say. It's interesting. It's going to be the economic message, the Bidenomics message, I think is going to be one of the biggest challenges that the administration faces. But I think, you know, we look at these, there's so often we look at these polls and the poll numbers in swing states. We look at, you know, the approval ratings of the president. And I think that we can get so lost in the noise there, but you have to understand that, you know, the bigger picture at play. And I think there was one instance of that I want to point out in a New York Times poll that was released this morning. They had one poll of registered voters that leaned towards Trump, and they had another poll of likely voters that leaned towards Biden. So I think, you know, I've had political insiders tell me never pay attention to the registered voter sample, only look at the likely voters, because then you get the people who are for sure going to be headed to the polls, people who are reliable voters. And I think one of the things that's happened over the past several years is there's been kind of a realignment that has occurred in the Trump era, where you have some more of the white working class male voters in particular who have gravitated more to the Republican Party in recent years. Those aren't as reliable of turnout voters. And I think on the Democratic side, you have more college educated people, more and more women. And a lot of those voters are, you know, those are people who show up in every election, every primary, every time that there's a spring election, school board, stuff like that. You have a lot more people who have been kind of becoming more Democratic voters. So I think that's going to be an interesting thing to see in the polling too, because so much of what we've seen so far is that registered voter sample. And if we get into the likely voters, get into where people are going to be turning out, planning to vote, I think that may change the narrative a little bit as well, too.
If you're just joining us, Dan Schaefer is our guest. He is the author of the award-winning Recombobulation Area. You can subscribe on Substack. It's a very, very, very affordable and very worth it. And we're
currently on sale, too, Jane.
You're on sale. It's so Wisconsin.
Currently on sale, 25% off through the holidays. You can give the gift of Recombobulation as well. So you can, all of our gift subscriptions are also 25% off.
Don't wait, buy now.
That's the best way to say, like, oh, I got the Recombobulation Area on sale.
It's so Wisconsin.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's such a victory. Talking about a Meet the Press piece that was done talking to some voters in Dane County, particularly young male voters, and they're not particularly happy with the way things are and voters in general. I find it interesting, Dan, that so registered voters, just because they're registered, don't necessarily vote.
That's right. They may have registered years ago, and you know, there's some people, there's many reasons why people might not end up voting. But in these voter samples, that you sometimes get slightly different results when you poll registered voters versus likely voters. And, you know, one of the things that I do at the Recombobulation Area is I break down every new Marquette University Law School poll. So I have had the opportunity to really dig in deep and look at the differences that you see with the registered voter sample versus the likely voter sample. And I think one of the things that used to be the case, it still might be to a certain extent, but it used to be saying that the higher turnout election, the more likely a Democrat is to win. Because you have people who, you know, might not be as engaged in the political process, might be from a more working class background, harder to get to the polls, might have some other complicating reasons where it might be more difficult to vote. That has changed a little bit over in recent years, where I think you have, you know, when Trump was on the ballot in 2020, that was like the highest turnout for Republicans that we had ever seen in this state. And so I think it's going to be interesting to watch whether there will be the same type of enthusiasm among Republican voters for Trump in his third time on a presidential ballot as there were, you know, on the first time when he won in 2016.
Well, and I'm sure Meet the Press listens to the show all the time. Just for ideas. Hey, Meet the Press. Talk to some young women next time. Just a thought. I'm just throwing it out there. they might have slightly different opinions than the bunch of young men that you just talked to on Sunday. So
just possibly, you know, the gender gap in Wisconsin politics, that's one of those things that I see in every Marquette University Law School poll too. It's just enormous. It's just a huge difference from, you know, I think, you know, looking back at like the Tony Evers and Ron Johnson splits, it was the approval rating for Tony Evers is very high among women and very, and just the same way you have very low approval rating among women for Ron Johnson. So the gender gap in Wisconsin politics is huge and is going to be one of those stories to watch. So whether you have some bros from Madison who are, maybe not so super enthused about Biden right now, might have a little bit of a different conversation when you talk to some women.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I think it will be a far different conversation if you talk to some women. And I think, unfortunately, to put the entire burden of the outcome of the next election on young women, sorry, it's yours. You're going to have to run with it, and you're going to have to come out in big, big numbers.
It would
ladies.
Be interesting, though, to see which women they talk to, because if they're talking to white women, they might get the same answer as the bros based on the turnout of voters for Trump the past two election cycles.
But one of the things, though, that I think we have to consider is that the Dobbs decision was after the 2020 election. Yeah. And every election since, the turnout among women has been, across the board, all demographics among women has been pretty significant. So I think Democrats have overperformed on that topic in so many ways. And I think that's going to be a big one going into next year as well.
I think so, too. And I think women are going to keep watching this because we see what's going on in Ohio now, where the voters came out in full force. And now Ohio Republicans just want to go around that because they didn't get the answer that they wanted. So, yeah, women are going to be watching. When we return, Ron Johnson did what? Dan Schaefer is here with the Recombobulation Area. Stay close. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Kristen will be here tomorrow starting at 10:30. She's been joining us from home while she's on maternity leave. So join us tomorrow morning at 10:30 when Kristen Bry comes back to the show that she began. Greg Bach is running the board today. And as always on Tuesdays, Dan Schaefer, author of the award-winning Recombobulation Area, joins us. Let's talk about our senior senator, Ron Johnson, Dan Schaefer.
Let's talk about our senior senator.
Yes.
Well, so often when we see news from Tammy Baldwin, it's like, you know, she's helping out with something in a big project in Milwaukee or getting energy costs down or doing something across the state, but bringing some infrastructure back to Wisconsin. That's the type of news we typically see with her. But with Ron Johnson, not the case. And I think a pretty interesting, significant moment happened last Friday with our senior senator. He actually admitted that he was slightly wrong, quote, slightly wrong on something. He got cornered on CNN in an interview with Caitlin Collins last week in a primetime interview asking about the fake electors. And Johnson was going on and on saying, oh, alternate slates of electors.
It happens all the time.
By Democrat. Oh, they get put forth all the time. This is what Democrats do all the time. You're just being media biased, blah, 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 blah. Well, Caitlin Collins fact checked him on that. And it was just honestly a masterclass in how to respond to this type of misinformation and lies that we hear from public officials like Ron Johnson. And in an interview with CBS 58, with AJ Bhadpour last week, he admitted saying that what he said was, quote, slightly wrong.
Oh.
So, you know, release the doves, mark the calendar. Ron Johnson actually admitting that he was wrong and lying about something.
Well, he didn't say he lied. He said he was slightly wrong.
That's right. Yeah. But I think he also said what he said was largely true, which I don't know if that's a thing. but, you know, it's pretty ridiculous that what Ron Johnson continues to try to say about this fake electors plot, about his role in it, downplaying it downplaying his role in it, downplaying the action overall. And now 3 years later, almost 3 years later, after January 6, 2021, he's still trying to twist the facts on this over and over and over again. And again, it's quite the contrast to what we see from our other senator in Wisconsin. You know, I always think it's interesting, like here in Milwaukee, we'll get these press releases a lot from, you know, from David Crowley or from Cavalier Johnson saying like, hey, federal funds are coming back for, right, you know, this river cleanup project or this infrastructure project or this bridge or whatever. And it's always Tammy Baldwin when we hear these types of things. It's never, ever, 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 ever Ron Johnson.
Seriously.
And I think it's such a huge contrast. People who want to say that the two parties are the same should look at the two senators in the state of Wisconsin, because they couldn't be more different.
Jane, what was the name of the thing that Ron Johnson was like praising the other day? It was like a whack job, like conspiracy theory newspaper or...
Oh, the Epoch Times.
Yeah, that's right.
The Epoch Times. Oh. I follow him on Twitter. And yes, he was praising the good, honest journalism from the Epoch Times. I thought my head was going to explode.
It's you know, it's the time of year where we all like to try to express our appreciation and love and gratitude to our loved ones, our friends and family, those close to us, and also the Epoch Times, apparently.
As one does, yes.
And Ron Johnson.
Well, and as you were saying, Dan, I see Ron Johnson on my Twitter feed all the time. He's always on Newsmax or Fox or somewhere, and he never does anything. It's all about looking backwards. It's about he's still talking about COVID, for heaven's sakes.
Still talking about vaccines and Hunter Biden.
Yes, and vaccines and Hunter Biden. And what has he actually ever accomplished for the people of Wisconsin? One actual thing that he's done and brought here.
It's
a mystery.
That's the thing with Johnson, is that he's not accomplished a whole lot. He's been in Congress
12 years
for more than 12 years. And he does not have, his probably the most significant accomplishment that he's had was negotiating even more of a tax break
for himself
yep, and his wealthy donors in the Trump tax break, which I think Trump was even talking about over the past weekend, telling, you know, those wealthy donors, hey, we're going to take care of you.
We're going to cut
your taxes. We're going to make those permanent. So, you know, he's just a... He's a cartoon villain of a senator who's flying back and forth from D.C. in a private jet to give things away to the wealthiest in the country.
And he's flying back and forth to his place in Florida, by
uh-oh,
the way.
Yeah, that's right.
844-967-2789. Jack from Merrimack. Good morning, Jack. Real quickly, we just got a couple of minutes left. What did you want to say?
Sure. Okay, I'm a scientist, and slightly wrong is if you do a calculation on some kind of natural phenomenon and the answer ends up on your calculation being a million, and you do the measurement, and the measurement shows that you were off in the units place, that's slightly wrong. calling a flat-out lie about the reason for the fraudulent elector scheme is not slightly wrong. That is a flat out lie.
Well,
that's all I have to say this morning.
I appreciate that, Jack. Thank you so very much. And thank you for listening. And really, major props to Caitlin Collins, because we don't see enough journalists who are prepared to fact check our politicians in real time on the air. And when they do it after the fact, it's too late, right? Because the lie is out there. Dan Schaefer is our guest from the Recombobulation area. You can subscribe. You can give it as a gift for Christmas, and you should. We are not going to see you next Tuesday, Dan, because we are going to be off.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, yes. So thank you so very much, as always, for joining. And thank you for your wonderful Recombobulation area. Stay with us. News is coming up next when we return. It's all about music. Stay close. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're making a decision. I'm cut off the part of your brain that does what I do. Put it in from out of hiding, put it on the shelf. And you can show it to your friends and say that's my own self. Can't do me nothing, can't tell me nada. Don't pump me now because I'm doing the Lovato. Lovato. Love a bit dance, here's my chance. To make romance in my B-boy stand. Parlay romancing, in the financing. Open up a restaurant with tech dancing. The folks check in, but they never check out. I set the wicket straight, no foul.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
There's excitement surrounding Carroll University basketball this year. Head coach Lindsay Schultz and the Pioneer women are fired up to deliver another winning